Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome along to the Racing Post Greyhound Derby postcast. I'm Dave Clark of the Racing Post, and like a coiled spring in the traps here, I've got Phil Donaldson, also from the Racing Post, Irish expert Ian Fortune, and from our friends Paddy Power, we've got Ryan Rossborough on the phone. Right then, let's talk competition, the derby itself, Phil Donaldson, the 88th running. Mm-hmm. Give us a little bit of colour, set the scene, second derby at Toaster.
Well, absolutely right, Dave. Obviously, the derby joined Toaster when the closure of Wimbledon. Yeah, we were all a bit concerned last year as to what we were going to get. I think we got a fantastic derby. We saw Toaster really pulling out the stops to put on a proper competition. They said last year it was a dress rehearsal and they'd get it better this time round. So I'm looking forward to seeing exactly what they have up their sleeve. But what we have got is a superb competition, a smaller field this year, but probably more select and probably no easier to find the winner though.
Yeah, 161 were entered, went into the drum. No doubt we'll lose one or two along the way. Ian Fortune,
how are you?
What do we make of Toaster? I'm very well, thank you.
As a venue, fantastic. I think it's a great. The couple of times I've been there, it looks made for a derby final. The space, you can really facilitate the crowd and whatnot. In terms of the track, it's quirky. There's no question. It's different, and there'll be dogs that won't handle it. We'll see that in the next couple of weeks. Like Sonic last year, the Irish runner, you may as well have brought him home after the first round. There was no point in bringing him back. And there will be other dogs like that this year. I hope not too many of them from Ireland, but yeah, there'll be dogs like that. But it's a strange place, and I think as punters, we'll get used to it this year a bit more than we did last year, because even by the end of last year's derby, we're still going, well, what type of dog is suited to the place?
Yeah.
And I think the dog that ran the place best last year was probably Tyra O'Shea, who was second in the derby. So does that mean a slowish start or strong runner that stays wide? But then you look there in a normal night, you want to be a fast starter on the inside. So I don't know. Listen, I haven't really got to grips with myself as yet, but I think we'll learn more this year.
And Ryan, as a firm and yourself, how do you see Toaster? Is it a place where you think you can get a result? You certainly got a result in the final last year.
Yeah, we got a big result last year in fairness. And for all the reckoning going into the bottom bend, you thought it was all over. Tyra Shea nipped up the inside, which would have been a massive loser for us, sort of coming towards the final and semi-final stage. But look, I was there last year, and I can honestly say it was the best day out racing that I've had in an awful long time. The only thing that concerned me was when I seen the track, and as Ian says, it was very quirky. The idea of the back straight doesn't enthuse me. You know, there's not much there. It just seems to be all bends between two and three, and it'll be enough of a concern for certain dogs that don't know the track too well.
Phil, so what does it take to win a derby? The key word that springs to mind is durability.
Yep.
It's a grueling campaign, the next 5 weeks, six rounds of racing.
Well, it's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because, you know, as Ian said, start the derby, we all thought we were looking for an early pace railer to win the derby at Toaster, albeit they went for the longer trip of 500 metres, could have gone with 480. As the competition progressed, we were looking at the brilliance of Claire's Rocket. We were wondering how High Your Butt was still progressing his way through as a dog we thought was just a front runner. And then Tyra Shea emerged as probably the dog everyone thought would win the derby in terms of his profile. But we ended up with a greyhound in Astute Missile who didn't tick a lot of the boxes early on. What he did have was stamina. He'd been over longer trips. He'd been over 5.92. I think most of the derby final field had been over longer distances by a higher butt. So durability, a little bit of stamina and steel in your belly is a big must, and a little bit of luck. And I still believe you've got to have a bit of early speed, though. You've got to be up there. I don't think you can come from nowhere to win this derby.
And Ian, you mentioned we are still learning, and as Phil rightly mentioned, the six finalists we had last year, only one dog, which was High Your Butt, had not raced over further than 500 metres. So there is no hiding place. You do need to stay.
Well, that's it. You know, for all that's said about the track, there isn't an awful lot of trouble in it. You know, serious trouble. Okay, dogs can get caught up in traffic in terms of behind dogs, but you don't see like an awful lot of dogs scattered on the ground, or you don't see too many dogs knocked over. So if you're running at full speed for 500 metres, you're going to need to have that bit of stamina, as you say. You're going to need to be able to get the trip. High Your Butt, like, he was a bit of a freak of a greyhound. Like, he looked like he was a Wimbledon dog. We saw his prowess around Wimbledon. But You know, other than that, I don't think, like, I think the profile of an English Derby greyhound has very much changed. You know, in the times gone by, I would have said Farlow Blitz, you know, in recent years, the one that comes to mind, flying starter, fly up the fence and just, you know, really set a scorching gallop to the third bend. I'm not sure he would have been suited to Toaster, even though he was a flat starter, got 550 yards around Sheldon Park. I'm just not sure he would have been suited to the place.
Excellent. Right then, Ryan, let's talk the outright book, liabilities, etc. I mean, 12 months ago we spoke and you told me that Bubbly Bluebird was the P45 dog if he did the business. I think Paddy Power would have gone under and your job would have been on the line. What are we looking to get after and obviously give us probably the first 20 in the betting?
Well, look, generally, look, from the off point looking at it, I think if you had said to me sort of 68 weeks ago, what way the betting would end up comparative to now, like it's chalk and cheese. There was dogs are 33s and 25s that are now 16s and 20s. So all the value was sort of a few weeks ago before the market really came to life, and particularly with the anti-post bets knocking about now. In terms of our book, how we're looking, we don't have a great book, that's being brutally honest. And certainly we're looking at sort of some big losers in the 100k bracket plus, being the likes of the Droopies, Verve, Daruda's Wildcat, like most of the damage is done there at 33s. And even Bruges Bullet from last year, which I believe yourself you've been interested in as well, Dave. So, like, I mean, these are the sort of dogs, all 33s, that are now all of a sudden find themselves at 16-1. And, like, the damage, most of the damage has been done already. It's all about now trying to create a better book and see what shape we are going into, say, the semi-final, quarter-final stage, and then taking a real strong opinion on things. The dog we probably go after, I would be and I'd be a firm believer in that this Droopy's Verve dog has the wrong seating. I watched him in his trial. I think he's got a lot to come across. He's got a lot to overcome, particularly if he has a slow start like he did in the Monmore Puppy Derby.
Okay, so he's perhaps one that you'd like to take on. But tell us, Ryan, which is the one that will well and truly have Paddy Power's pants down should it win? Which is the bogey in the book, the biggest loser?
Oh, without question or doubt, Bruges Bullet. Bruges Bullet is the one that has been wanting all year and non-stop at 33s the whole way through. He's now found himself in the bracket of 16-1 today of a cut from 20, and certainly he's the one that they've all been wanting on for an awful long time.
Is it 16 to the field? Give us the first sort of 10-15 in the betting.
Yeah, so at the minute we have Droopy's Baker, Bruges Bullet, Daruda's Wildcat, Droopy's Verve, all at 16-1 co-favs. Outside of that, we have Droopy's Davy at 20s, we have Born a Gin at 25s, we have Raisin Brandy at 25s, which is very popular, obviously, after the Monmore Puppy Derby win. We have the comeback of Tyrer Shea at 25s, Magical Bale, who's quite friendless now in the market at 33s, and then outside of that, we have the likes of Oi Oi Up Penalty and King Elvis all as well at 33s.
Well, Phil, if you can find the winner at this stage, you're going to get a bit of bang for your buck at 16s the field.
Absolutely, yeah. I prefer it when a derby is a little bit more competitive, as this year's one is. As we mentioned, in terms of the actual size of the field, it's a lot smaller. But I think there's a lot more dogs that you think would have a good chance of winning it. And it's interesting to hear, you know, some of those dogs at those sort of prices now. You know, a lot of the business has been done already about those, so now people will be looking beyond them. Maybe the next batch of 33-1, the 50-1 chances will start seeing a bit of business.
Now, there was some Irish names at the top of that betting, and no better man to ask the Irish challenge than Ian Fortune. Let's start with Droopy's Biker, who was very impressive on Saturday night in a four-bend trial, and is now joint favourite.
Yeah, very impressive in his four-bend trial, and had it also impressed in his sprint the previous week. I just wonder, before Ryan goes, just in terms of the trial, did that have big influence? Or did the money come in after it? Or also, was Droopy's Davy, was he always going to be that big a price? Or well, was it because he trialed the way he did?
I'll give you a sort of brief rundown on it. Realistically, the opinion was from punters that as soon as the trial came in, there was money for it. Now, the shrewder money was after the sprint trial, which is quite notable, but the real money came after the trial. So, I mean, if you take in the context of what it is, without that kind of a trial over the four bends that he did, you're probably still going to be looking at a 25-1 shot. So it actually shows the impact that it has on the market whenever one big run comes up. And just looking at what the rest of them have done thus far, you just look and say to yourself, maybe he could be the one that kicks into another gear, or he definitely has something else in the tank that he can bring to the competition. Now, with Droopy's Davy, very, very odd goings on there, because after the original sort of Conlan Kirby adventure that he had, he certainly looked as good a greyhound, or good a young greyhound as there was in Ireland. And of course, the money came from. But what is even more notable is that we actually got caught sort of with this dog, Anti-Post, early doors before the Conlan Kirby. We actually had a monkey each way at 150s. So, I mean, the Buckley camp knew plenty about what they had as well. And certainly, look, as it turns out now, the price was just wrong. And fair play to them, they've got in and got it before anybody.
Good stuff. Much shorter now, no doubt. Right, let's rattle through a few then, Ian. Born a Gin is one that I like a lot.
Yeah, very strong greyhound. I was telling Phil earlier on, I think he'll be suited to Toaster in a sense where he can do it from either way, front or behind. He also has a change of gear. In one of the early rounds of the Easter Cup this year, found himself behind Coolivani Mason on the third and fourth bends, nowhere to go, looking for the inside line, waited. The gap opened and he quickened and he went on. Like, we're going to see it over and over again in Toaster. That's the one thing, that's the one notable thing that does my head in. You're back in the dog, come from off the pace, and all of a sudden he sits in behind the leader turning for home. Yeah. And also, he arrives into the home straight, short little run in, doesn't have time to get there. This fella has the gears to get there. And I like that. I think he's a dog that would be very hard to knock out, barring trouble or barring he finds the wrong, you know, the Calico Rangers of this world in front of him. But generally, he'll pick up the vast majority of greyhounds that'll be in front of him.
And what about the track record holder, Tyra Shea? What do we know about the injury that he suffered?
Well, it was a gracilis. So, you know, sometimes they don't come back for it, sometimes they do. And it's yet to be seen how he'll run with dogs around him. Obviously, he wasn't amongst my leading fancies last year. I thought, very fast dog, very strong dog, but if it had been at Shelburne Park, I wouldn't have fancied him. I just thought the way he ran the place was just astounding. And we always knew he had the pace, but you don't expect to come from that sort of far behind good dogs. Now, last year, he did the clock, he flew out, and he can do that every now and again, but it wouldn't be depending on him to do it even every third night. I'd say he'll do it once in the Derby if he goes a few rounds. But it's all, we just have to wait and see, to be honest with Tyra Shea. We know he is the engine, and then it's a case of whether he can reproduce the form he showed
Absolutely.
Last year.
It's great to have him back in the competition. Yeah. Though we sort of had the carrot dangled with Claire's Rocket, but obviously it didn't work out. But yeah, with Tyra Shea, credit to PJ and the team to get him back and into this condition.
And at 25-1, he's a sporting price. Do you know what I mean? Like, if the Derby, if this year's Derby had started a week after last year's Derby, he'd have been 6-1 jolly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But like a year later, he's had a gracilis, 25-1. Okay, you know, you'd like 33s or 40s, but 25 sporting, because if the dog is right, and by all accounts his trial's been good, would suggest that the dog is finding himself. He's sure to come on for them. So, 25-1. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people getting interested into that price.
Of course.
I won't be one, but there'll be plenty of people backing him at that price.
Phil mentioned superstar Claire's Rocket doesn't take part, but his trainer, Graham Holland, is a man to be feared. He's got a couple in their Clombrine Hero and Slippery Keen.
Slippery Keen, yeah. Clombrine Hero is obviously, three classics last year in Ireland. Obviously, a bit of controversy comes with them too, but... By all accounts, he still holds the three classics. He's a very talented greyhound. A dog that really took to the three tracks in which he won the classics. Perhaps his best form hasn't been the likes of Shelburne Park. It'll be interesting to see how he runs Toaster. His trials have been reasonable without being sensational. His first trial I saw when he beat the Shotgun Bullet dog, he walked out, got to the corner, clipped from behind and then tied up. Looked like he'd improve an absolute mountain for it. And then in the second trial, only wins a short head from a pup. So... I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how he does take the place. He will need to have his trapping boots on. Probably a dog that, in other tracks, he tends to take a step right from boxes and it sometimes gets him in trouble. Yeah. Whereas a Toaster, every dog takes a step right and traps. So actually might suit him in that end.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He'll avoid sort of getting that immediate bump, barring, let's say, a Westway O'Neill or something was drawn as a media outside. You know what I mean? But other than that, I'd be fairly happy with the dog in terms of whether he should run the track, you know?
Just quickly, I mean, we spoke about the circuit at the top of the podcast, but are there any parallels with Toaster to any track in Ireland? Is there any tracks you'd say, well, he run Limerick well, so he might run Toaster well? Is there any form that
Limerick's
you think
first
stands
bend,
up?
Limerick's first bend is so wide, it would nearly... You know the way when dogs run off, they run off. Like, they could lose 10 lengths, same as Toaster, but other than that, not really. You know, the straights are like 3.5 seconds to the back straight in Toaster compared to, six and a half seconds in Shelburne Park and, the likes of Limerick and Dundalk and Clonmel, like these would have long, long back straights, whereas these dogs are in the back straight and all of a sudden they're at the third bend.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a shock to some, But if you have a good bend runner, you know, obviously it's
exactly as you said earlier. Yeah, it's quirky. If you run it, you run it. Simple as. And some just won't take to it. And only the competition will tell you that really. Yeah.
The Drooby's Davy dog is going to be a very interesting one to see how he runs it next time out.
He needs to improve.
Because his trial was
massively,
just. I have decent money on about big prizes.
That's not your monkey each way, is it?
Not quite. With a view to maybe doing a bit of business later on if he went ridiculously short.
Yeah.
But I knew as soon as he trialed, I went, well, this is only going to go one way, the price. So we'll see. We mentioned Droopy's Biker. We didn't go back to him. He's a horribly fast greyhound, but he's only had 6 races. So he trialed greater on the place, and he's a very, very fast greyhound. But all the rumblings out of the Buckley Kennel were that Davy was probably a faster greyhound. Now, we've heard that before, and you know, over the years, remember, you have 2 great dogs in the kennel. It's often that the slower one, shall we say, comes out in front. Now, all their form would suggest there's a hair's breadth between them. There's nothing between them. And at this moment in time, although my money is on Davy, and I've had a speculative bet in Biker as well, but you know, I'd be probably more favouring Biker than Davy. I've changed my mind in the week or two when I was last put on the spot, you know what I mean?
It's been a while though. What we had only 2 Irish Train winners in the last 13 years, so you're due one.
Yeah, but if you look at how many times we have the favourite in those times, you know, we've had a lot of favourites in those 13 years in the final. Ballymac Vic was a very unlucky dog in the final.
Yeah.
You know, Clare's Rocket last year, the draw beat him. You know, he was crazy. We won't go into the original quote after the semi-final. That was a mistake, but he was a warm favourite. You know, other dogs like that gone through the years that probably with a bit more luck on their side would have won an English Derby.
Well, you mentioned Farlow Blitz earlier. He's another one who the wrong dog at the wrong time turned behind him.
Yeah, very much so.
That was
so
it.
How do you feel that the challenge this year measures up to those in previous years?
Well, see, numerically we're down this year. We're down to 19 now. You know, it's a small number compared to what we've come with in the last few years. It's a combination of things. I think people looked at Toaster last year and went, you need to have 3 or 4 looks at this place before you can go. And a few people have just said, no, I don't think we can commit to that because our calendar this year didn't really allow for it. The Easter Cup's not over that long. The Kirby started, the Gain 600. And because of the World Cup this year, the English Derby's that month earlier. So it didn't really allow for dogs to get over and have as many looks as they'd like. Pat Buckley, fair play to him, Sporting Man. He said early, he said, if they're fit and well, they're go. That's why I backed Davy and Biker. Despite the fact they were running in the Kirby, I just said, take a chance because at the prices they are, these dogs could still improve further, and who's to say, you know what I mean? Like after the second round, Biker could be a 9-2 chance, you know what I mean? Who's to say? That's the beauty of an anti-post bet. At the same time, after the first round, Biker could be gone, so.
I did see Legal Ace trial on Saturday. I was very impressed with him on the eye. What can you tell us about him, a bit of a price?
He appeared at Shelburne Park about a month and a half ago in a novice race, it wasn't a novice race, but he arrived as a raw novice. He'd had 1 start, and sort of self and Ted Hegarty were sort of laughing beforehand. It was down to Anne Buckley, Pat's aunt, and Teddy said, I saw Mrs. Buckley there. I said, yeah, he was just to come and see the dog, you know. She hasn't seen him in a while. So we had a fair idea that it was probably kenneled with Pat, and he looked a nice dog. He ran over 600 yards, won well. I'd say he's a dog that'll need a trip, but Pat is very sweet in him. He says he's a very, very fast greyhound. It'll probably all happen a bit too quick for my liking. He's a dog to keep an eye on in the future. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got a round or two, got a couple more runs under his belt, but at the moment he's very inexperienced. But I think he's 150-1 in places. You know, I wouldn't put anyone off because Pat is pretty sweet in him now. He knows he has an engine. I think he's a bit of a morning glory dog. I think at home, up the gallop, he's the one that Pat likes. But unfortunately, the Derby's not run up Pat's gallop. You know what I mean?
He's 150-1. Before we move on, anything at a massive price that might spring into life?
Of the Irish runners?
Yep.
I think you can put a pen through a lot of them, to be brutally honest. I just don't think there's Derby winners amongst them. One dog that is very big, he's a bit of a headbanger, this Whoops Jack dog. If they can sort out his problems, I know he was a bit of a kenneler, but Peter seems to have got to the bottom of that. He thinks he may have got to the bottom of it.
I think he went inside the track record over 2 bends in a trial.
This dog go underneath a lot of track records if things go right for him. He's a big price in that sectional market that was launched.
He has been backed, hasn't he? Yeah. He was mentioned.
Will he stay?
No problem. He's won 5.75 in Sheldon Park. Like this dog, he's an aeroplane. He's a machine, and I think his first round heat especially is pretty weak. I think the nearest dog to him is about 125-1 in the outright betting. So I would be surprised if there was a pace out in the first round, given the draw and given the circumstances. I'd say he'd be one I'd be pretty sweet on. And I think he's I don't know what price you have Wupshek in it, Ryan.
Well, for the top Irish dog, is 12-1 each way, three places. And on the anti-post, I'll get that for you now. Sorry, 2 seconds. But yeah, no, I do agree with you. He's incredibly fast ground. Like, we're 50-1 him, and certainly, like, after one run, he could easily be 25-1. If he puts in the run, he can. Like, an incredibly, incredibly fast ground whenever things go right for him.
Yeah, those that are probably less likely to back him are those the ones that are more overly familiar with him.
Yeah.
Because he can throw in an absolute stinker. He will run as a wide seed, although if he gets room, don't be surprised if he ends up in the fence at the corner and stays pretty close to it. You know, but this is a horribly fast greyhound.
Great stuff. Ian, Ryan, anything to add there? I know that you obviously keep a keen eye on the Irish Challenge as well.
Yeah, look, just in general, like we've got the market up there at the minute with the top Irish dog at Droopy's Baker, which probably in fairness looks fairly big now, 5-1. But when you consider what's in the market with him, you've Droopy's Davy, you've Born a Gin, you've Tara Roche, and you've Clone Brand here, and things coming back to themselves. Outside of that there, then you've probably got the outsider ones. But realistically now, it really would not surprise me to see Born a Gin and Droopy's Baker tussling it out for favouritism after one or two rounds. Like, I really think this Born a Gin dog... It was told by a good friend of mine last year about backing him at big prices. I didn't really believe it, and realistically, ever since, so he sort of really came into turned into a real good greyhound, and particularly at Shelburne. And I don't imagine him being a million mile off if he's off Droopy's Baker at all. I really think Pat Buckley's got a massive hand in this year's Derby.
Excellent stuff. Right, we'll head for a quick break, then we'll get everyone's best bets of the first round.
Success ain't earned; it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Greyhound Derby postcard sponsored by Paddy Power. Right, we've got 26 first round heats run over Thursday, Friday and Saturday, all live on Racing Post Greyhound TV. Phil Donaldson, you have the floor. Best bet of the first round.
Well, it's almost impossible, Dave. There's so many dogs that you look at and you want to back, and then you see three dangers in the race. Last year, in the first round, one of my best bets and most successful bets came in the very first heat when Murray's Act won for Kevin Boone. He's in the very last heat this year round, and I can see him winning that. I was interested to hear what Ian had to say about Legal Ace. I think Legal Ace could make the market for him a little bit. I think Murray's Act has a nice makeup on the outside. I think he was a 7-2 chance last year. He could be a sporting price around, hopefully, that sort of mark. I think Kevin Boone will have him ready.
He's got a slow start in
5 Droopy's Marshall. It's a winnable heat, particularly if Legal Ace isn't quite ready to do himself justice yet. So Murray's Act, for me, in the last heat of the first round.
Ian, what do we like?
Again, you know, price dependent, that's the problem. We don't know how many sort of short ones. I've ignored a few that will probably be very short, but I'd be interested in Slippy Keane, the aforementioned Slippy Keane. Unfortunately, he hasn't had a look around the place, but he's a very, very fast young greyhound. Should be suited to place in terms of he seems to be a good bend runner and he's massive pace. He's a tricky enough first round heat in terms of a Born a count, but he's on this right side, Milltown Magic, Calico Ranger, and then the Forest West and even Jelly Flood. It's a tough enough heat, and I just thought because of his lack of run around the place he'd be a bigger price than he should be, so I'll give him a chance. Whoops Jack, I would imagine he'd probably be very short. That's on the first night as well, heat 6. I think if he gets loose, they don't see him they won't see him until next week. And then going ahead back onto the final, I thought Tyra Harold would be pretty short, but yep, he should win. And there's an interesting run in heat 22, where Magical Bale, the Puppy Derby winner, is taking on last year's Puppy Derby second, Innocent Times. It'd be interesting to see how Innocent Times runs the place. He's a bit of an enigma. He runs very wide at times, very cuts for defence other times. It's strange. But if Magical Bale isn't ready and ready to race, I wouldn't be surprised if Innocent Times ran well at a big price, perhaps.
Good stuff. Right, I'm going to go to Friday's heat, heat 16. Seamus Kyle, Sporting Dave. I really caught the eye when chasing home King Turbo last time up at Central Park. I think he can get off the front in that heat 16. Hopefully it'll be a bit of a price. It's a very competitive one, that one, on paper. Ryan, what are we like? You've got 16 heats to choose from. Which one's it going to be?
Yeah, I made a very strong case for Dog on Friday night in heat 11, and I'm sure Ian knows this dog as well as anybody. Droopy's Wilbury. Now, the context of the race looks like there's going to be a lack of early pace. I thought the run the last day at Toaster. Now, on the Burr form of things, it's an A3 at Toaster, but we all know the strength of grade at A3 at Toaster is, really. He left Ballyregan Jimmy in his wake, which has some top-class form around around Hendo and things. And he also left that dog called, he beat that Chubby's Caviar. Now, he had some decent trial form with Blackfire. And if you look at Blackfire in the market, like, he's a 33-1 shot. Like, this dog done all his running in the home straight that night, a toast of the last night. Stepped up for an extra bit of distance over the 500 metres, particularly with slow starters in, say, where there could be trouble. I think this lad could lead up around the first bend and go on and win the race handy. Mark Wallace factor as well added in, a dog on the comeback trail. I'd be very keen.
Excellent stuff. Yes, of course, Droopy's Wilbury now with 9-time champion trainer Mark Wallace. Right, I'll stay with you then, Ryan, because you touched on sort of top Irish betting, but I'm sure you've got plenty of specials for the punters to get stuck into.
Yeah, well, look, obviously one of the big ones everyone looks for, particularly when it comes to Paddy Power, is the winning nationality. And when you compare last year to this year, I don't really see it as very fair, because we had the trouble with Shelburne last year, and it actually forced a lot of dogs just having to come to Toaster for the Derby, because realistically the top class dogs just couldn't get racing. Last year's challenge was much stronger, this year's just isn't, unfortunately. And it looks like the UK, before it even starts, looks to have a very, very strong hand. We made the UK 1-4, and we made Ireland a very attractive 3-1. Considering the dogs that Buckley has, you'll definitely get people interested at that.
Yeah, seems a massive price, Ian. Numerically, you said obviously the advantage is with the UK, but that seems fair. You can see, you know, get quarterfinal, semi-final stage. You know, Ireland could easily be fab if you've still got three or four of the big guns left in.
Yeah, and we've, certainly in a number of times in the last few years, we've had two in the final. You know, that it looks a good price. Of course, you could have one bloodbath where your four or five best chances go out in one night, and that's what you have to take into account. But as I said, with a little bit of luck, they could easily have a couple, certainly three, maybe four at semi-final stage, and then again, anything could happen then. You know what I mean? Like, was it last year, the year before, we had three through to the semi-finals, and they all drew in the same heat. So you were sort of praying for the three of them to get through, but, you know, that's just being greedy. So hopefully, you know, but 3-1, I don't know, it's one of those bets where you have to wait a long number of weeks to get paid at 3-1, you know what I mean? I'd sooner have it on something to beat, you know, like Droopy's Verve in the first round, something to beat that in the first round, you know what I mean, at a bigger price.
Okay, Ryan, what else? What other markets? I'm sure you've got Top Bitch, etc.
Yeah, the Top Bitch is always quite an interesting one. Now, in fairness, the quality of the bitches outside of the front three or four, they look like they're going to struggle with the front end of the market. We have the strong challenger, the former Irish challenger, Oye Up Penalty, 6-4 favourite. We'd be very strong in this bitch on the assumption that she is going to be qualifying most nights. She's an incredibly talented bitch, and certainly the right man has her, Keatley. Haley Keatley as well has it. And look, I'd be very cautious here about laying sort of chunky bets in this. Hence we've sort of ducked at 6-4. Now outside of that, you've got Bull Run Button. She's a 4-1 chance, and again, mixed in with the dogs. Now, I know she won the puppy stake across the water there in England, but
yeah, Racing Post Juvenile. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't overly impressed. I think the trap draw wanted it. I was surprised at the Droopy's Expert dog that night. I just think she'd be one we could definitely go after if there was interest in her. Bally Doyle Moore, a very, very talented bitch as well, at 5-1. And then outside that, you've got Hirachi Madison, who obviously wouldn't be suited by the 500 metres, but certainly has the talent on her day to go mix it with any of them. And then outside that, you've Greenwell Jean, who's very much unexposed still. Pooley Shauna, who's on a real purple patch at the minute. Lowgate Bellatrix, who rarely runs a bad race. And then 20s bar the race. But really, our view is we've ducked the OI up penalty for the Top Bitch, and we're happy to go after Bull Run Button.
Of course, now with Hayley Keatley, as Ryan mentioned, Ian, what can you tell us about her? She's 6-4 fav, as you mentioned. For me, she'd be the one to beat. She really caught the eye chasing hard in a trial stake on Saturday.
Yeah, she's a pacey lady. She has her own thoughts in the game now. I was discussing with someone at Shelburne Saturday night. We watched her trial, and she was beating a short head and was sort of just behind all the way to the escape, and that's her. I said, don't worry about her trial form. This one, when there's dogs around her, she'll go after the one in front. She's jealous. She's not going to turn her head or anything like that. But she knows where the winning line is.
She chases hard.
She has the gears to back it up.
And she looks strong, doesn't she?
She's very strong. Yeah, like she picked up. The Vaguely Noble was just beaten in the Gain 600 there on Saturday night in Shelburne Park. She came from two or three lengths behind him in a 550 a matter of weeks ago to beat him. Not too many would do that. And she's not afraid to pass on the outside. In fact, she favours passing on the outside, which around the bottom two bends when things are getting tight up front. This could be the one that will be arriving like a Tyra O'Shea.
Yeah.
And I could see her going a few rounds. I'm glad her first round heat is four to qualify because it's a red hot heat. It'll be interesting to see how she runs. But she ran very well behind Ruby's Verve. She checked off the corner from an inside draw. I'm not so sure I'd have left an inside on her if I could. I know over here that the racing office can sort of put the foot down, but I'd have left her as an inside. She finds her way around the first two bends, and then in the second half of the contest, she'll probably find herself weaving and passing around the outside around the bottom two bends. But yeah, I saw that she was 40-1 or something to be fast as sectional. I would be amazed if this bitch even led in any round. You know, never mind fast as sectional. So that's one just to keep in the side. I wouldn't back her to be fast sectional, but yeah, she'll be hard enough to keep out of frame. She takes the place and is in a going humour, shall we say.
She's very popular at 50-1 now with us as well, so we've actually caught it to 33s today, but she looks an absolute standout bet, even at 33s each way. On the place side, you definitely think you'd be giving yourself a right chance at that. Mm.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, when Ryan was listing the bitches, I think, looking at that heat that she's in, Logo Bellatrix is amongst the rivals, and I think Ryan's right, rarely runs a bad race, Jim Hayton's bitch. I thought she might be a bit of value in that market. She does like Toaster, she's strong, she's gone over further, and she's got familiarity with the course. So, and Jim's quite handy at steering greyhounds at big prices in good competition. So I thought Logo Bellatrix might be a little bit of each-way value in that bitches market.
Ryan, I'm sure the punters can jump onto the Paddy Power website and see all of those specials. Where's the smart money been? All these specials market can tend to attract some shrewd money. Have you seen any big moves for anything in particular?
To be honest, Dave, not really big moves. We've seen snippets of money, with the top Wallace runner there, top Mark Wallace runner, which I thought was very interesting, particularly from an each-way side of plays. Like, it's quarter of the odds, three places. But, like, Bruce's Bullet there is in at odds on at 10-11. But Black Farron has copped a bit of interest at fives each way. And, like, when you look at what the market is, like, fives is probably a fair price. And certainly, like, if Bruce's Bullet happened to sort of get knocked out early doors, if he happened to walk out one night or something, like Blackfire instantly becomes a very strong favourite there. You know, when you look at his other runners, Bomber's Bullet 6-1, Droopy's Wilbury, who's a bit of a keep for me, and obviously for the market at 6-1, Ninja Fortune, Sally Nash, Boyle Sports Duke. You know, like Blackfire and Bruce's Bullet, you would definitely think is sort of just that notch better than what they are, and certainly a 5-1 each way, it's definitely got a bit of interest.
Excellent, good stuff. Do jump onto the Paddy Power website and check out all of those specials. Now then, gentlemen, it's time to now the colours of the mast. Phil, I'll start with you. Who is your idea of this year's Greyhound Derby winner?
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a couple, one of which, and I'll partly blame this man's father if he doesn't win me a few quid, but I have backed Borna Gin. Michael Fortune, Ian's father, been talking about him for a long, long time. I'm sure a lot of people in Ireland have been. So I did get involved at a bit of the 50-1 that was around a few weeks ago. He's had a trial now, so yeah, I'm comfortable with what he's done. I think he, and I was listening to Ian, who knows the dog far better than I do. I'm quite happy. I still think at 33-1, he's still a bit of value compared to the Droopy's Biker and one or two others, Davey, that maybe have shortened.
And more hardened dog as well, of course, more experience.
Absolutely, and he's got that little bit of mixture of strength and pace, which you need, as we found last year. I think maybe a dog who's been slightly forgotten in the market and he's sitting around the same mark is Droopy's Expert. I think he's an incredibly fast dog. I thought maybe he was a little bit unfortunate. It just maybe needed the run early in the year in the juvenile. I think he's a dog that you really can go to war with, and he can hold his own in any company. So at 33-1, I wouldn't put anybody off backing him as well. I think he could go a long way in the competition.
Obviously won the All England Cup, jumping from he's a cat puppy to all age company, which is a massive feat.
He's a fantastic greyhound. He's a cat one performer. And yeah, he's still sitting at, you know, the money's come for like Droopy's Verve. He's been shortened up. Droopy's Expert, I don't think he should be any disparity in their prices. I think they're similar dogs, and Expert for me has got that little bit more experience behind him.
Great stuff. Ian, what do we like?
Well, it was all over, Dave, until the trial. I just can't get past that trial. I'm just afraid of another Sonic. I'm going to side with Biker. Then the likes of Born a Gin would interest me, as would a couple of the other ones at maybe bigger prices for Ireland. But I'm going to throw in one of the English runners as well. I thought the Wildcat Dog. I just thought maybe with another year under his belt, probably not as dependent on the fence, maybe the second year, he mightn't be cutting in as much as he would have last year. I was talking to Kevin Hutton there a couple of weeks ago, and I think he seems pretty happy with where the dog is at.
He's strengthened up, I think, with the year on his back.
Yeah, that's the one thing that sort of disappointed me last year when he was picked up in the select, you know. But I like him as a greyhound. He didn't do himself justice when he came to Ireland, but, you know, we forgive him for that. We saw what he could do in the early rounds of Toaster last year. He certainly runs the place very well.
Absolutely loves Toaster.
Of the English runners, he'd be my choice. But yeah, Droopy's Biker and Droopy's Dave would be the team captains for Ireland.
So but I think Pat runner, Brickley, you are putting up a UK runner as well.
Well, you'd have to. 2 in 13 years. We're due one, but you know yourself, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. He's 25-1. I thought that was a big enough price. I would have liked the 10-1 Pat Buckley to win the Derby that Ben Keith was talking about last night, but I'm afraid that is well and truly dried up.
Mm. Big loser in the book for the sponsors there. Right, I'm going to be with, of course, Bruiser's Bullet. I've been backing him since last year's Derby. I thought he was a little bit unlucky in the semi-finals. You've got the best man in his corner, chasing a third Derby, is Mark Wallace, 9 times champion trainer. He starts, he stays, and I think you'll get a good run for your money with Bruiser's Bullet. At 3-figure prices, Calico Brandy for me. Little brother to Calico Ranger, who's probably stolen more headlines than Calico Brandy in the shadow of his little brother somewhat, but a real strong sort and a lively each-way play, I think, can go a long, long way. Now then, Ryan, what do we like?
Yeah, well, look, I'm already sitting on a few losers, unfortunately. I was on Good News and Droopy's Noah, who was shocked didn't go. I thought that Droopy's Noah dog would have been tailor-made for the pace, but that's nor here nor there. I have went with Born a Gin, 33-1. Now, Born a Gin, to me, the Easter Cup finalist, was slightly unlucky in fairness with the way the draw panned out for him, but he was really going against some of the best that we had knocking about. And certainly, when you look at the bare facts of it, between him, his form, Droopy's Davies form and Droopy's Biker form, like I don't think there's any way that he should be nearly double the price of them two dogs. And a 33-1, he is an absolute must, I think. Like, I think the value's definitely still there with him, and I genuinely think that he could go into favouritism after one or two rounds. He's that good of a greyhound. I also like to put up one at a big price, and I was glad to see the man talking about it the other night. I think it was yourself, Dave, had him after trials and Toaster. Let's Be Ready at 125-1. Like, his form, his form of last year wouldn't have read that well, but he's really kicked into gear this year, particularly around Hove, where he beat Droopy's Benucci, who's a 33-1 shot, you know, knocking about in the market. And like, if he's beating him handy enough and you're getting 125-1 a dog with brilliant early pace, and he was schooled around Toaster, and with the right man, Matt Dartnell, he can't be sniffed at it at that sort of price, certainly. And they'd be my two plays.
Lovely stuff. 29.70 round Hove for a Let's Be Ready. Massive, massive run. Right, obviously, get to the track. We do encourage you to get to Toaster in the next 5 weeks or so. Do enjoy the action. If you can't, you can watch the first 3 rounds live on Racing Post Greyhound TV. Gentlemen, the battle lines are drawn. I thank you for your expertise and time. Ryan, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Steve. Pleasure to be on.
Excellent stuff. Do not forget to rate, review and subscribe the Racing Post podcast on iTunes and on YouTube. Plenty of content throughout the week. We cover racing, football and all major sporting events. Thanks for listening.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.